Time now for the Better Health Radio Hour, and we say good evening to Dr. Boyce and her special guest this evening.
Hello, good evening, Ronnie. Good evening to all of our listeners. How are you doing, Ronnie?
Grateful, happy to be here, and to hear what you have to share today.
Yes, this evening, welcome to the Better Health Radio Show, where we help you to live your best life. If you want to give us a call in the studio, 434-1790. And if you want to send us a WhatsApp, 266-4862. Those numbers once again, 434-1790, that's for the studio, and 266-4862. In our previous shows, we were dealing with different aspects of the coronavirus pandemic. We spoke last week and week before with Mr. Lennox Rochester, and we were discussing the different ways in which we could cope with the COVID-19 pandemic. This evening, we're going to be looking at a different aspect of the pandemic. We're going to be looking at the social fallout. And who better to do that than Ms. Roseanne Richards? Good evening, Roseanne.
Good evening, Renee, and thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for joining me this evening. Now, Roseanne is a lawyer, and she is a social worker. So this evening, we are going to be tapping into her social worker resources. We are not going to be discussing any legal ramifications, any legal fallout as a result of COVID this evening. We're looking at the social aspect because many of us know that we've had significant social changes because of this pandemic. I don't think that anybody expected that on the 4th of May, their children would officially be going back to school, but going back to school online. Many people still aren't going back to work, and we still don't have an official all clear as yet. And on that note, I still do want to caution persons that if you choose to wear a mask, I still am seeing so many chins and cheeks and foreheads wearing masks as opposed to noses and mouths. So if you are going to wear a mask, don't get lulled into that false sense of security that you have something on your face. It needs to be where it's supposed to be, on your face. So we're going to jump right in because we have a lot to discuss. There is an extensive social fallout as a result of COVID. So we want to learn about the research that Roseanne has been doing since the start of this pandemic. So where do we start this evening? Where do you think? Let's start with the individual. What are some of the social fallouts that the individuals might feel as a result of going through this pandemic?
Well, I think before we even start to talk about the individual, we should let it be known, and I think it is known already, but repeat it again, that COVID-19 has not spared any nation, any continent, any class, race, creed, color, sex, or age group. So everybody has been exposed to COVID-19. And at the individual level, from the youngest to the oldest would have been impacted. I've been reading different reports from different places, and they talk about the incidences of domestic violence and intimate partner violence. But there's also financial insecurity. There's also stress. There's uncertainty that has led to increased aggression at home. There's abuse, and in some instances, even though I have not heard of any instance of suicide in Barbados, that could be a fallout as well. And this could be exacerbated by social isolation due to quarantine and social distancing guidelines, even fear of unemployment and financial factors. We are social beings, and the inability to socialize, hug, shake hands, embrace each other would become the new normal as we adjust to life with or after COVID-19. And all of us as individuals that like to do these things, we wouldn't be able to do them again.
Let's go back a little bit to, and we're not sensationalizing anything, but I think that this is a point that needs to be fleshed out just a little bit more. When we think about some of the social circumstances of the individuals here in Barbados, we are moving from a situation where there are persons living in a home, let's say there are 7 or 8 people in one home, and some of them are at school during the day, others of them are at work, others are at home. So not at any given time do you have 8, 9, 10 people in the same house for prolonged periods of time. However, with the restrictions on movement and activity that we found ourselves in, we realize that these individuals are now in a situation where there is little room for personal space. And we can see how easily this can lead to increased aggression. And if there's a situation where there is, like you said, intimate partner violence or other forms of domestic violence and child abuse, we can see how these conditions would tend to lead to conditions such as those.
Yes, Dr. Boyce, within the home, especially where there's overcrowding, you can expect that in this lockdown situation, that climate is a recipe for all forms of child abuse, emotional, physical, sexual, verbal. The parent that has to be at home, not sure where or when or how or if he or she's going to go back to work and how he or she would provide for his or her household, they might get agitated very easily. So verbal abuse or even physical abuse could be an action that would not normally happen, but in this situation, it could easily happen. You could also have a situation of incest. So at the individual level, both adults and children could be exposed to these forms of abuse within the household, especially now, because under normal circumstances, the individual, be it a school-age child or an adult who's working, they would leave home by a particular time per day and they would spend a particular portion of their life away from the household at work or at school. Mm-hmm. Now with the lockdown, they are now in the same space, and even where there's limited space, it makes it very easy for tempers to flare. And it is easier, especially where there were situations where there was strained relations between members of the household. So that could be on the increase, the abuse, one form or another.
Let's look at another situation. We transition now from those homes where there's overcrowding, where there is insufficient income. And many of our homes right now, there is insufficient income. And I like what you said at the beginning, Roseanne, that all of us have been touched in one way or another, so we shouldn't be thinking that it's only those persons who are on or below the poverty line that have been affected. Those persons who were the more affluent members of society, they also have been impacted as a result. So we shouldn't be thinking at all that those persons who are more affluent, who have more money, are free from the effects of COVID-19 at all. We've all been touched. Let's transition now into the home where there's not overcrowding, but it's a situation where parents are now separated. So perhaps there has been a divorce or a legal separation, or it might have been a case where one parent was visiting. Let's talk about the social follow-up for that particular child. What are some of the
things in a household where you have situations, be it a single parent or a visiting relation or even a separation as a result of a breakdown in the relations between the adult parties, and or even where there's a pending divorce, it would have an impact or implications for the parties involved, but more particularly the child. Suppose it was a situation where the child would spend alternate weekends or every weekend with the visiting or the father who doesn't live in the same household. If he or she is not able to see his or her child, it could have emotional implications and other implications for the child. And also the father who would want to spend, or the mother who would want to spend quality time with his or her child. So in terms of situations where they're single parent households, the child not being able to go and see the other parent, that could create an emotional challenge for the child. And if there's a close bond between the parent and child, so if there's a situation where the child lives with the mother but goes to visit the father, and he or she is not able to see the father for an extended period, sometimes you have things in social work, you talk about separation and anxiety, that could occur there. But the situation happens more so than not where the child is not able to see his father. The father, on the other hand, the father, on the other hand, he too is impacted because parents spend a lot of time with their children, and where there's a quality relationship, you don't want to see impacted in a negative way. And the lockdown in and of itself is one way. And I would hope that at this stage, with situations like this, where the mother possibly is the parent where the child spends most of the time, that some provision could be made for the child to do FaceTime or call the father or WhatsApp or video and chat in the situation where the child is not able to visit the father at the intervals or at the times that they would normally visit.
Yeah, right. I totally agree that this should not be a time where the person who has custody of the child does not use this to their advantage. And this disadvantage the visiting parent from interacting at any in any way with the child. Like you said, there are so many social mediums available now for persons to interact. So there should be no excuse, and persons should not use this opportunity to be vindictive. You know, to
but
get
the other
revenge.
Thing that we must take into consideration is if that child has a phone or somebody in that household has a phone that they could allow that child to do the videoing or the FaceTime to see the absent father. So these are other things that must be taken into consideration if the technology is available.
Let's talk a little bit about substance abuse, the potential for there to be a follow-up with respect to social abuse. In our previous shows, we touched on it a little bit, but I think that we can discuss it a little bit more here. Let's talk a little bit about substance abuse.
Well, in situations where persons who are not able to do the things that they would normally want to do, they have to find other things to do their time. It could be a situation where they could be pushed. If they are not using the substance before, some people might decide, well, they need to find something to do with their time. And some people could find other voices other than being creative, and they could either drink if they have the access to alcohol, or if they have access to any other drug, they might want to use it. The other thing is if that they're accustomed to using it and they have access to use it again. So it's nothing to do with their time. It is a possibility that they could engage once they have access to the substance.
And I don't. It might seem strange for persons who don't use illegal substances to hear that it is something that's used to pass time. In my interaction with patients, some of the explanations, when you go through the history and you ask about their social habits and so on, and you ask if they smoke, if they drink, and so on, and it probes me, you know, it causes me to probe and ask them, so why do you drink or why do you smoke? And many times the answer that I get is that I just be bored.
Yeah, to reduce boredom or to pass time.
Or pass time, and go ahead.
One of the other things that we could also mention as it relates to substance abuse, it does not necessarily have to be an illegal substance, because people might have been using all sorts of over-the-counter remedies while they've been trying to either keep themselves healthy or to prevent or stave off COVID. So those substances may also be abused. So that's another situation that could happen.
Lots of vitamins, people overdosing on vitamins to try to build up their immune system to fight off COVID. What are some of the other social follow-ups you think that can happen at the individual level before we transition to community level and to the workplace?
At the individual level, you could also have a situation where within the home, there's a lack of insufficient stimuli and activities to engage school-age children. The children who are missing school and missing their friends, some of them could have outbursts and tantrums. So that is another thing that must be addressed by parents. There's also the situation of adjusting to the homeschool situation, because there has been a lot of talk about using the technology, but there are situations where persons might not have access to that technology or even connectivity to Wi-Fi. So it could create a little bit of a challenge for those persons. There's also the situation of adjusting to the physical and social distancing We mentioned the overcrowded household, but there's not enough space sometimes in households, but where there's not sufficient space, I am not so sure how this would happen. And in the absence of persons being able to go to work, it makes it more difficult. I think we mentioned strained family relations and enhanced stress levels as a result of strained family relations, the whole lockdown process, your inability to go and move as you want freely can lead to anxiety and depression and also harassment. Only last Friday, I think it was, on the call-in program, I heard a caller call into the program to talk about a situation she's been experiencing at home, and she's talking about harassment. So where there's strained family relations, these could deepen in these circumstances, even though I think it might be a good time to mend bridges and renew acquaintances and hope to improve family life. But sometimes the opposite happens.
I think one of the things that we need to do is look at our perspective. We've all been thrown into this crisis. Our worlds have all been turned upside down. But it's what we do with the circumstances in which we find ourselves that determines the outcome.
Agreed.
Whenever there's the all clear, are we going to be the same individuals at the other side of COVID as we were at the beginning when we went in? And I think we recognize how quickly life can change. And I firmly believe, this is my personal opinion, that as we recognize how frail life really is, that we take the opportunity to mend those broken bridges, to be the bigger person sometimes. And I am not downplaying any hurt that persons might have been exposed to, any wrongdoings that might have been done. But perhaps sometimes, you know, you have to be that bigger person and say, you know what, I'm going to put that behind me. And for the greater good of the relationship, let's try to sort this out. That's the measure I think that would make so much more difference in our relationships as families.
I think going forward, that should be the platform to take off on, so that at least there's mending of bridges, there's renewal, and there's a situation for growth within families, especially those where there were strained relationships.
In our previous shows, I keep referencing our previous shows because we did deal with some of the social aspects in the previous shows, but we didn't get the opportunity in those shows, to discuss the elderly. We discussed mainly children and we discussed adults, how they would cope with COVID-19. Let's talk about the elderly, some of the most vulnerable, even before COVID in our society, and now it's just been a little worse now because COVID has impacted on our society. Let's talk about the elderly.
Well, ever since the initial shutdown, I have quite a few elderly friends who have been saying to me they feel kind of claustrophobic in their own homes. They would like to get out. They would like to do this. They would like to do the other. And there are a few that I have been going out myself and getting things to tape them rather than they going out on the road. Mm-hmm. So that vulnerable group is particularly challenged because of the confinement to the house for an extended period. They are unable to socialize as they would like, mix and mingle and meet the friends as they like. I have a very good friend and she's 70 plus and she's very much at the gym, so she can't get out to do her exercises and she feels bothered about that. Then there's the social and mental impact, and if you don't have persons around you, supportive of you, loneliness and anxiety could be very telling on the elderly person. So the elderly, as much as they are vulnerable, all of them are not vulnerable, but there are some of them who would like or would be happy to step out and do a few things for themselves, but COVID-19 means that those persons who are of a certain age and a certain age group with other illnesses or related illnesses like diabetes and hypertension and stuff like that, they're not able to go out and do as much as they would like to. Then there's the elderly group, or a lot of the elderly who might be churchgoers, and the churches have been closed and you have online services, but there, some of them might not want to admit or accept that they, apart from the religious and the hope that they get from going to church every Sunday, they also get to fellowship with other members of the church. So they're not able to do this. And this is weeks now. So they're probably waiting to see when that window might also be open so that some of them could mix and mingle again.
Yeah, it's one of the things that COVID has shown us is definitely that need for socialization. Like you said in the beginning, we are social beings. That ability to interact with another individual, just to see somebody and to see a smile, it's something that transforms your whole day sometimes. Just my mind goes back to times when perhaps you were feeling ill, and just being visited by somebody makes a complete change in how you were feeling. Just that social aspect.
It has a therapeutic touch.
It does. So we want to caution persons, even although there has been a slight lift in the restrictions that we've had, we still need to be cautious. So we can't go en masse from tomorrow morning at 8:30, everybody just flood the streets.
Or to the beach.
We still have to be cautious. Remember that this has only been approaching 5 months now that we've been dealing with COVID-19. We don't know if there's going to be a second wave. We don't know about prolonged immunity in those persons who have been affected before. So we still need to be cautious. We still need to do our physical distancing, which is 6 feet between you and the nearest person. That hand washing is ever, ever so important. Make sure that for at least 20 seconds with soap and water, if possible, if not with hand sanitizer, that you make sure that you clean your hands. You try to keep your hands away from your mouth, your eyes, and your noses. That's very important in trying not to contract the virus. Remember that there are persons who might be positive who look completely well. So you can't take anything for granted. So this is just to remind us that we still need to be on our P's and Q's, and we have not reached the new normal as yet. So we still need to be cautious. Let's talk about those persons who have to be working from home. What do you think the social fallout would be for those persons?
Working from home, I think the social fallout has to be, well, it wouldn't be a follow initially, but if parents are unable to manage the work, and especially where the homeschooling would come into effect, and then they have to balance between doing their work and supervising or coordinating the homeschooling component for their child or children. And if there's more than one child and it's a single parent household, it could be a challenge, especially if they don't have all the equipment in terms of tablets, access to internet or Wi-Fi. That could be a challenge. So
sharing
of time between children, because each child, depends on the age group, might need a bit more attention than the other. So
the younger ones would need some more coordinating than the older ones. But we can't leave the older ones out at all, because they still need help with time management and parceling out their work and appropriate answers and so on for their school work. So they still need supervision.
Yes, and you might have instances where possibly the parent might be an essential worker. So the older child might have to do caregiving duties as well as to deal with his or her work. So that could be a challenge, because you don't want burnout, or you don't want the older child to take on more responsibility than he or she is capable of managing. So that is a situation that should be also looked at.
Well, I'm very glad that you mentioned the word burnout, right? Because when we think about burnout, we always think adults. But children of all ages are able to be victim or able to become victim to burnout, and you just gave a full recipe for a child, a teenager. Let's take a teenager, a child who is preparing for, I think it's called CSEC now. I did my exams a little while ago. I think it's CSEC. A child who is preparing for CSEC, uncertain as to when those exams are going to take place. So you still want to be, you know, on top of your work, still want to be making sure that you are ready whenever those things do come to pass. But you have a 7-year-old sister or brother who has classes from 9:30 till 12 o'clock during the day, and they're not able to fully coordinate everything that they need to do. So you're managing
not only
them.
That, mm-hmm. apart from coordinating the work, they may also have to provide or make the lunch and make sure that at a certain time the younger brother or younger sister takes his lunch or her lunch at the specified time. So there's a lot that he or she might be expected to do. And the thing is that the homeschooling would be a new concept or a new challenge for not only the adult, but the child. So being able to adjust to the situation could also be a challenge.
Right, I'm going to take this opportunity to send a shout out. That sounds very colloquial, you know, very, very local. But to send a shout out to those persons who are responsible for teaching our children online. I've been observing some classes in my own home, and the teachers are innovative, and they have to adjust. When I think about what's necessary, those teachers that I know personally, the amount of work that has to go into trying to get classrooms organized, trying to make sure that they themselves are familiar with the new technology, and the uncertainties as to whether or not the children will sign up to the classes, whether or not the children will attend, because there are some cases where children don't attend school properly already. Furthermore, now that they're off and children aren't signing up to their classes, it might be a case, like we've mentioned before, there's not enough equipment in the home, there's not enough access. So we understand that there are challenges there. We're not saying that there aren't.
But and supervision. Supervision is critical. Because if under normal circumstances, you're supposed to be at school at a certain time, but now the school is now not in the physical setting it used to be, but at your home, if there's not that supervision there to see to it that the school age child is doing what he or she has to do at the particular period of time, that becomes a problem. Not only that, suppose it's, especially in the overcrowded households, lack of a quiet space where the child can focus and get ready for the homeschooling situation.
And actually hear what's going on, because we know that there are certain homes where there's loud music, where there are arguments, where the setting is definitely not ideal for learning. It's not even ideal for learning as in book work at home, doing homework, furthermore, classes.
But sometimes it might not even be in the same home. So you have neighbors who blast the music loud from dusk till dawn. And that is an implication for trend in the best of circumstances to study.
Yeah, but for all those people who have stepped up to the plate, who have said, okay, I'm going to try my best, we want to say congrats to you, want to say kudos, and to encourage you
definitely
to keep on trying.
They must be commended.
Trying. Yeah, I think so. When I think, I might always go, I have a special spot in my heart for teachers and nurses.
Not to mention, teachers are also parents, so they too might have their children that they would have to assist in the homeschooling process. So then
and
again, it's a balancing
time.
Situation.
Yes, I'm certainly proud of each of you who have been going above and beyond to make sure that you get these things organized for our nation's children. So we are talking this evening, it is now 6:30 in Barbados and across the Eastern Caribbean, and we are in with Ms. Roseanne Richards. We are discussing some of the social fallout as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. As Roseanne said at the beginning, none of us, no class, no creed, no race, no country, continent, nobody has been left untouched. Even if an individual has not been infected, he or she has been affected by this COVID-19 pandemic. Let's move on to the community. Let's talk about that situation where, for example, persons discovered that an individual tested positive for COVID-19.
Any awareness or observation of an individual testing positive for COVID-19 can create a backlash for that member of the community. I recall when there was HIV, there was a PSA, public service announcement, that spoke to stigma and discrimination. Well, the same thing could happen to that member if and when the personnel show up to collect them and take them to the isolation center. So there could be social isolation, there could be discrimination. But I think that as a caring community, we should desist from showing any form of discrimination or social isolation to persons who test positive, because it could be any of us.
Oh, yes. And the parallels between HIV and COVID-19, they are so striking. The disease can be transmitted with persons from persons who don't have any symptoms. So you're cautioned to operate with the heightened sense of awareness. And the same thing for HIV. You can't tell that a person is HIV positive simply by just looking. I remember a couple years ago, I happened to be in an environment where there were mostly ladies talking. And this is a story that has stuck with me because this happened perhaps 7-8 years ago. And a young lady was discussing her foray into a sexual encounter with a male. And her criteria for proceeding, so what she used as her basis for going ahead and becoming involved with this gentleman, was how he smelled. Once he smelled okay, in her mind, it was safe for her to go ahead and become intimate with this gentleman.
She didn't know what she was, might have been exposing herself.
Exactly.
Unfortunately.
Exactly. So we can't afford to take these risks either with HIV or with COVID-19. So we need to be fully aware of what we are doing. Make sure that we, again, put out those reminders, social distancing, hand washing, and making sure that you keep your hands away from your mouth, eyes, and nose. So we're talking about community follow. What
at
other aspects?
Community level as well. I think I heard stories of people talking about the kites in the night, and also cases of persons being at home and with extra time, they seem to be taking every opportunity to get rid of or dispose of waste around their houses by burning. But that also has implications because based on what we would have heard about COVID-19, persons who have respiratory illnesses are exposed or vulnerable. So in the community, if persons go and burn, they could be exposing the neighbors who have respiratory illnesses to further illness. So they need to take that into consideration. One other follow from a community perspective, at the community level, there's a lot of community sport where people engage in football, cricket. Those activities have been climaxed for the time being because of the COVID-19 situation. So the inability to socialize for community activity is also a follow of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, towards the end of the program, we are going to be discussing some of the positive aspects, because it sounds as though since COVID-19 has come around, it has been all gloom and doom. Nothing positive can ever happen as a result of this. But from your research and your interest in this aspect, there are some positive things. But what
definitely
I want to do at this point in time is just share a few numbers for those persons who might find themselves involved in a situation where they are in danger. There's 211. That's the number for the police. If you are in fear of your life, please don't hesitate to call. Their motto is to reassure, protect, and to serve, protect, and reassure. So that's 211 for the police, their emergency number. The COVID hotline, 536-4500. If for whatever reason you think that you might have been exposed to someone who has tested positive, or you might have any of the symptoms, you can give that number a call, 536-4500. You get some further advice. If you need some counseling, you feel overwhelmed with what is going on, you're distressed about not having an income, not being able to coordinate the school classes for your children, there's online counseling at 238-1259. And one more, the Business and Professional Women's Club. This is an emergency shelter for women and children. 435-8222 or 253-5071. And those persons who are aware of children who might be in circumstances that are not ideal for our children to be in, the Child Care Board, that's 256-9662. So these are just some resources for those persons whose situations at this point in time are not the most ideal. so you can reach out for help if you need it. So we were discussing there just now with Roseanne, we were talking about the community fallout. Any more aspects of community fallout that you can think of, Roseanne?
I also saw an article in the newspaper where a young couple, they were evicted, the couple, mm-hmm. the two of them. And I know that when the first lockdown was spoken of, the Prime Minister had mentioned that she hoped landlords would be a bit lenient, for want of a better word, not her exact words. But I have seen in another area of the newspaper where I think in the first phase, a wife was also put out. And I think that evictions where tenants are unable to pay house rent, evictions are occurring. I've also heard Mr. Safri spoken about persons calling his organization seeking help in that area. At the community level, you might see, well, at the household level as well, you might see increasing instances of unemployment. There may be increasing poverty, and increased poverty and unemployment could also be linked to some situations of increases in crime, and I would hope that we could stave off those things as much as possible. But the inability to socialize, to recreate, to get out there and do things that you would have been doing with other members in your neighborhood or in your community, those things now have to be put on hold until we get to another phase of the reopening of our country and the society as a whole.
Right. The onus is on each of us to understand that this situation is less than ideal. This, if ever there has been a time that life has thrown you limes and you need to make some lemonade, I think this is it. I think that this, some persons are actually saying that this is an exciting time. It truly is an exciting time for medicine. In previous times in medicine, going from the idea of a drug to the actual manufacture of this drug and clinical trials where you're trying out the drug on human beings sometimes used to take from 10 to 12 years. And we are now looking at trying to come up with a vaccine in under a year. And so medicine has had some advances as a result of trying to adapt to the pandemic. And I am sure that in other sectors, there have been some improvements. So as we begin to wind down, I cannot believe it. The time just seems to fly by every week.
Renee, there's another social fallout that I didn't mention.
Sure, go right ahead.
And it happens within individuals and families and by extension the community. Mm-hmm. The situation of loss of a loved one or a family member and dealing with death. Because, I was happy when I saw in today's paper that the persons who can attend funeral, that number has now moved from 10 to 20.
To 20, correct.
So you have persons or family members who are not in a position to say goodbye to their relatives. The dead person dies a lonely death. And then family members' inability to bring personal closure to the loss, because if the situation happens where the family member is abroad or local, there can't be that traveling to and fro to attend the funeral. So all that has been curtailed because of COVID-19. And I know that there have been talk of deferring for memorial services even after the burial. But in some instances, it might be difficult for some family members even to cope with this situation. So that is another social fallout. Dealing with the loss as a result of death because of a relative or a friend or a loved one, and especially where only a few. No, well, today would be 20 persons, but before it was only 10 persons were able to attend the funeral of their loved one.
Right, and on the behalf of the Better Health Radio Show, we do take this opportunity to offer our condolences to those persons who have lost persons to COVID-19 and those persons who've lost relatives in this setting where the support from community and friends can't be as strong as it used to be before. And this is support in terms of attending the funeral and so on, and being able to come over and comfort and so on because of the restrictions placed on socializing. But you can still call the individual. You can still prepare food for them. You can still offer to do their laundry at your house and take it back. You can offer to plan the service in as much as they would have a service. So there's still things that you can do to help persons who would have lost relatives at this point in time so that they can feel that community support. You know, check in on them. They still would need some privacy. That's the other thing as well. So you still have to be sensitive. You know, persons might not necessarily want everybody to be calling them every 5 minutes. So feel out the individual and see where they are. And honestly, just ask them how you can help. And most persons, I believe, would tell you, well, I don't need anything right now, or could you do this for me, and so on and so forth. So we can still be supportive to our friends and family when they need us. So we wanted to talk about some of the positive aspects. We wanted to leave with some endorphins flowing, some good chemicals flowing in our brains.
Well, I think that COVID-19 has given all of us a time for reflection, a time for renewal, a time for rejuvenation. It has also afforded us the opportunity to spend quality time with family members. It's also afforded us the opportunity to become creative, do positive and stimulating things within and among families, play games, really restrain family relations. You could mend those and improve on them and get them going along a better road than they were before COVID-19. So you'll be improving and repairing strained family relationships. It allows all of us to get some rest and improve our mental health.
Oh, yes.
It also affords us to volunteer our time and our talent, if we have the skills, to help manage possibly a hotline, or to become more involved in some aspect of volunteering to assist where volunteering is necessary. It also affords, in terms of the school, the parent, and the student, enhanced school parent-student-teacher relationships. Because
yes, I have seen that.
The teacher has a particular role to play, but with homeschooling, the parent has to be a bit more involved. And where that happens, the relations should be on demand or improved. It also affords us the opportunity for growth at the individual, family, and community level, even within the workplace. Another positive, as I think about the situation where there is homeschooling, we've heard of instances where there is insufficiency as it relates to tablets, Wi-Fi, internet connectivity, and it affords the opportunity for public-private partnerships to develop where, like, there could be more Wi-Fi hotspots within communities so that at least children could have a bit more easier access to Wi-Fi to undertake the homeschool situation that they would have to deal with right now. It also affords us the opportunity to diversify approaches to doing things. So there's been online shopping for groceries. There's the curbside delivery.
I experienced that the other day, curbside pickup.
It affords us that, and that could continue after COVID-19. It also affords us the opportunity to become a paperless operation in terms of the services we provide in certain sectors. So, mailing and sending stuff, you don't have to print and post. At least that could be reduced, but for our betterment. It also allows us the opportunity to appreciate our media workers in terms of the fact that they have been making the information available to us. There have been also positive messages coming out.
Yes,
it also tells us about the importance of, or at least we should appreciate the importance of communication within our, not only our community, but the world, because we're able to get information rapidly, even though we have to see what is fake, what is factual as opposed to fake. At the community level, it allows us to engage in bartering. So if my neighbor had okras and I had sweet peppers or tomatoes, we can exchange. It also affords us the opportunity to get into some backyard gardening, and we can get a good set of exercise from gardening. So, but we can also grow a few of the things that we might need to assist ourselves. It also affords us to do more home-cooked meals. I know some of the other places might not want to hear that, but at least what we prepare at home, we can make our food our medicine rather than then our medicine become our food.
Oh, I like that. I like
it. Also exposes us to like policy solutions as well, like in terms of management approaches to adapt, in terms of how we manage the situation with either at home, working from home, or working from within the office. It allows also for that long spoken about flexi time to become a more active part of the labor market. I also talk about the public-private partnerships, and it also has given us opportunity, even though I find it strange that some people seem not to be listening to all the public service announcements and messages that are coming out about COVID-19, what to do, what not to do, the hand washing, the sanitizing, the wearing of the mask. And we've been getting this all the time, so we should be able to practice safe social distancing, do the things that are necessary. And as we improve over time, then we might have a few more, a bit more reduction in the restrictions that we're under right now.
Yeah, I think, again, we need to caution about tomorrow being everybody just flying out of their houses. That's not what it is. It's a gradual reopening. Gradual means slow and stepwise, as opposed to opening the floodgates and everybody flying out. Once that horse is let out, we cannot pull it back. So we still need to follow the guidelines that are coming out from the Ministry of Health and Wellness and from those other persons who are involved in the management of this current pandemic. One of the things that I realized that has come about as a positive in the COVID-19 is the number of things that have been made free on the internet. Access to books, access to journals, access to courses. So whilst an individual might not be working, perhaps he or she can do an online course so that at the end of the current lockdown, the current restrictions, that he or she has become more qualified, has gotten another course under his or her belt and another skill, acquired another skill.
Definitely, because it affords them the opportunity to acquire new skills, learn new things, retrain.
And you make yourself more marketable as
yes.
a result of this. And then we spoke, as we were chatting, we were talking about the generation of new businesses, because several problems have cropped up as a result of COVID-19. And
well, there's one social follow-up, Renee, not to cross it, that I didn't mention. And it could be a positive in the long run because of our population size, but I think that we might see some unplanned or unintended pregnancies at the end of COVID-19. If you look at it in terms of population growth, it could be a positive. But if then that their parents might have children, or there might be pregnancies that then the long-term provisions for pregnancy can be taken care of, it would be a challenge. It could be a social fallout.
Yeah, somebody was saying that around Christmas, you know, we should expect a boost in the number of persons being delivered at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital and the other private entities. So we will have to see when we do the population studies if that is the case. But surely, yes, the development of new businesses. I do recall my principal at secondary school saying that if you're not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. So many problems, as I said just now, have cropped up as a result of COVID-19. If we find solutions to some of these problems, we can have the generation of another set of...
Well, I didn't mention the new businesses because I was looking at the social as opposed to the economic, but definitely new businesses have emerged.
Mm-hmm.
Deliveries.
Yes.
That is big.
We talk about curbside pickup.
Yes. And online purchasing and buying. So there's still positives to be taken away, and the new normal would bring about a few more positives. I think that we should be a healthier or more hygienic society post-COVID-19.
Now, we don't want people going the other extreme and just shunning every other living human being, but you still need to keep that distance. But being physically distant does not mean you have to be ill-mannered and unmannerly, because that's something that I've seen going on as well, that persons have taken the physical/social distancing to mean that you can be rude to other individuals. It's not necessary. If you think that somebody's a little too close to you, the onus is on you. Just step away.
Because you have a duty to take care of yourself.
Yes, it is up to you to take care of yourself. There's no need to be contentious and rude and so on. Just move. Life is too short to worry about these, I don't want to call them frivolous things, but because somebody will call in and say that Dr. Boy said that COVID-19 and social distancing is frivolous. That's not what I said.
The ability to adjust is the critical factor going forward.
And I think adaptability.
Easy. You can adjust and adapt is important.
And in this time, we must be able to adapt, because if you don't adapt, you're going to be left behind when we get the all clear.
Not so only that, COVID-19 should have taught us about the things that we took for granted pre-COVID-19.
Oh, yes. To think that, how long is it that we haven't been able to go to the beach? It's about 6 weeks or so that we've not been able to go to the beach. So
About 6 weeks.
So something that, so it's nothing political that stopped us from going to the beach back in the years where Gabby sang that song about that beach is mine.
Yeah.
But it's a little virus. One little virus has stopped us from going to the beach. And that's something, when last did you or me as a Bajan go to the beach, you know? Even before COVID, years, we take the beaches for granted.
Yeah.
We take our friends and family for granted. We take the ability to get up and go out of our houses and just drive to the supermarket for granted, because it didn't hit us until it was dependent upon your last name for you to be able to shop. If there ever was an experience of being a prisoner, I think having to go and doing things on designated days, that's how I think it would feel. You know, your every action is settled by those in authority. You don't have a choice in the matter. And I understand, and let me say again clearly, it is what needed to be done. These are the things that needed to be done. We're just talking about how it would have felt to be on the receiving end of these necessary measures.
Really, there are a few other hotlines that I would like to mention.
Sure. I was just about to ask you to mention anything else that you want.
Yes. Paradise has a hotline, and the number is 232-4891. That is Paradise, 232-4891. There's also Women of Purpose, and that number is 851-9215. Women of Purpose, 851-9215. And then is the Ministry of People's Empowerment, 536-4673 or 536-HOPE.
So these are resources for those persons who might need help during this uncertain time.
Yes, counseling or...
Or a safe place to stay.
Well, I don't think that Paradise has provisions for a safe place to stay, but counseling provided at Paradise. Women of Purpose would also provide counseling, and the Ministry of People's Empowerment, they probably provide a number of services.
Resources. Mm-hmm. What is that one last thing that you want persons to take away from today's show?
The one thing that I would want persons to take away is that we each have a responsibility for ourselves, and there's a lot of information out there about the do's and don'ts as it relates to COVID-19. And we should follow the instructions of the authorities and do whatever we can to help make our country a better place. Don't break the curfew. Don't do any abusive thing. If we can help, I'll volunteer to help in any way, do that. But remember that we have to sanitize. We have to social and physical distance. We have to wear a mask once we're going out there in public. And even though there have been a reduction in the restrictions, when Monday the 4th of May comes, it doesn't mean that we have to go there all at once at the beach at 6 o'clock or wherever we are going to have an activity. We must still be very careful and be cautious.
Roseanne, I want to thank you for your research and the time that you took to do your research for today's program and for going on as well. Thank you for joining us this evening. And like Roseanne, I just want to take the opportunity to, again, reinforce those things that are necessary for us to continue to be safe. And we are looking forward to being with you again next week, same time, same place. We'll be discussing COVID-19, but we'll be focusing on one system in the body. So if you want to find out what that system is, then join us next week, Sunday, 6 to 7, VOB 92.9 FM. Ronnie?
Yes, indeed. Wonderful, wonderful program. Wonderful program.
Yes, you have a pleasant evening and good evening to all of our listeners.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Once again, wonderful program, Better Health Radio. Thank you very much for the expertise and the wisdom. And remember, wisdom is the principal thing. Better Health Radio, VOB 92.9 FM.